It is that time, and I know there's going to be some people coming in from the fellowship hall. We are, on behalf of the congregation here, I know we are so thankful for all of our visitors that are here this weekend. We've got people from way up north, Bonner's Ferry, Sandpoint area, folks from Washington, folks from Oregon, folks from Utah. And so we're just delighted that... Oklahoma. People from all over. See, I didn't miss anybody with that. But we are thankful that you're here. You are an encouragement to us, and I hope that we are an encouragement to you this weekend. As you know, Tim Lewis is not here. He's sick, and so he wasn't able to make it. And so we've got these other guys that are filling in, and that's what it is now. We've got some other guy that's going to come up and speak to us. This weekend, my daughter said, "Is Tim Lewis going to be here?" I said, "No." She's like, "Oh, he's my favorite." I said, "It's okay. Tim is my favorite too, but we've got some other guy." And so, and Tim's not just my favorite because he's a good communicator. He's got an excellent haircut. But we've got some other guy that's going to come and speak to us, and I don't know if his hair is as good as Tim's. So, some other guy, if he'll come up and preach to us.
The other speakers I don't know the other speakers so far, they've had Brother Richard to introduce them. They've had Brother Clint to introduce them, and I get this other guy. Not only this other guy with no hair. But we just make the best of what we have. Turn with me, if you will. Our topic is forgiveness. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Those of you who feel comfortable reading out loud, if you would just read with me as we read this verse together, and here's what the Bible says. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. To me, this is one of the most precious verses in the Bible. God is not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Church, this verse is evidence that God loves us. This verse here is, there's evidence that God wants us to repent. This verse here is It's evident that God wants to forgive us. God wants to forgive us. This verse here, God wants to save us. All in this one verse here. God wants to forgive us. What have you done? You done anything wrong lately? Anybody have done anything wrong? Anybody done anything wrong? Oh no, here he comes. Here he comes. And I'm walking out here, most of you going like this. You know, you might not can see me, I can still see you. And if I want to come to you and tap you on the shoulder, I will come to you and tap you on the shoulder. I don't care where you're looking, okay? Here we are. What have you done? What have you done? Done anything wrong? You ever done anything wrong? Yes. Have you ever done anything wrong? Yes. If God hasn't already, God wants to forgive you. You know why? Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants everyone. I told myself I'm not going to get excited because you guys have accused me of yelling and all stuff. I told myself I'm going to be calm and collective during this message, and that's what I'm going to do. Okay, let me start over. What have you done? God wants you and me to be saved. That verse says, I'm not slow like some think slowness to be. No, no, no. I'm giving my creation time. Time. You know why? Because I don't want any of them to perish. Church, that's the God we serve. He doesn't want any of us to perish, but I'm giving you time to repent. You know why? Because after you repent, you know what I want to do? I want to forgive you. Because I want to save you. Church, I've done everything in my power to show you that I want to forgive you. You remember my son? You remember my son? You remember John chapter 3, verse 16, the verse that you quote all the time, and the verse says that I so loved the world that I did what? I gave. You know why? Because I want to forgive you. Yeah. Yeah, I want to forgive you. You remember that he left heaven and he came to earth. And church, he did everything just right. He did everything just right. And what did you do to him? You killed him. And you know what? He's me. He and I are one, is what God says. He's me. But you know what? You know what? When he was hanging there on the cross, and then people down below the cross making fun of him, saying ugly things about him, doing all kinds of things while he's hanging there on the cross, here is what he said. Forgive them. Forgive them. You know what, church? He's a better man than you and I will ever be. I know some of us think we could. He's a better man than you and I would ever be. You know why? Forgive them. Forgive them. You know why? Because God wants to forgive us. I've done everything in my power. I've done everything I can possibly do to the point of sending my son, letting him die for you and give you time. You know why? Because I want to forgive you. I want to save you. I want you to repent. That's what I want. You've got a problem. You got a major problem. And it began back in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, you know what I told the first two of you, I said, don't mess with that tree in the middle of the garden. Do you know the story? Or do I need to take another 30 minutes and tell you that? Do you know the story? I told you, don't mess with the tree. Don't mess with the tree. And you know what you did? You messed with the tree. Yeah. You mess with the tree, and after you mess with the tree, something entered this world that had never been here before. You messed with the tree. And you know what? And you know what? Do you know what you're doing? On here we are on October, what's the day? Here we are on October 14th. You know what you're doing? You're still fussing and fighting over whose fault it was. Yeah. You're still fussing and fighting over that. I could start a war this morning, right now in this auditorium, if I got up here and asked the question, whose fault was it? Whose fault was it? Oh, yeah, some of you men would stand up and say, oh, I tell you what, it was that woman's fault. That woman's fault because she's done this. Some of you women would stand up and say, well, I tell you what, if you were doing what you were supposed to do, then we would be, you know, we'd be fighting on it. Here's the problem. Sin enters the world. It doesn't matter whose fault it was. We started a problem. A problem. And you know what? God wants to forgive us. God wants to save us. God wants us to spend an eternity in heaven with Him. He wants to forgive us. Yes, He does. But he says, I want to give you time to repent. But you know what? Some people don't realize they got a problem. Do you know you don't appreciate the solution? You don't appreciate the result of the solution if you don't think you have a problem. If you ask the question right now, what is the greatest problem facing mankind today? You know what? You'd get all kinds of answers. All kinds. Poverty. Politics. Wars. Rumors of wars. You get all kinds. Church, the greatest problem facing us today is called sin. And everything else rolls under that umbrella of sin. And God says, I want to forgive you. But you got to repent. You got to repent. We got a problem. And church, the problem is great. We've dumbed it all down, as already been mentioned in one of the earlier lessons. We don't sin anymore. We can't appreciate God's forgiveness because we don't sin anymore. We make mistakes. That's what we make mistakes. I I mean, and I am not one that, words. I mean, we change the name of things. That's already been pointed out. But church is still sin. It's still that problem we have that God says, I want to forgive you for that. I don't care what you call it, it's still sin. How many gay people do I have in this room right now? None of you are happy? None of you are happy? You get my point? Yeah. We can't even say we're happy anymore. Because sin is no longer, sin is called being gay. I mean, I don't even like it when people say, let's go get high. I don't even like that. Yeah, I don't even like it. Brother Richard, find from if you would, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Brother Byron, if you don't mind, find from me Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Brother Clint, where are you? It's your turn. Get over there. Find from me Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Church. This is the last lesson for the day until before we eat, then we come back and we have the last lesson for the evening. But here's what I want you to know in this one. God wants to forgive us, but we have a problem. And I don't care what we call it. I don't care how we try to change terms. It's still sin.
Yes.
It's sin. But God wants to forgive us. Look, we got to realize the seriousness of the problem that we have. Brother Richard, what does the Bible say? Romans chapter 6.
He said Isaiah 59.
Isaiah 59. Okay, just see if you're keeping up. Okay.
Behold, the Lord's hand.
Behold,
is not
the
short.
Lord's hands. What? Keep reading.
It's not short.
It's not short that he can't do what?
That it cannot save.
He cannot reach out and save us. Keep reading.
Or his ear dull.
His ear is not so dulled what?
That it cannot hear.
That he cannot hear us. But here's the problem. Keep reading.
But your iniquity.
Your iniquities.
Has made a separation.
Have made a separation between.
You and your God.
You and your God. What, Brother Richard?
And your sins have hidden his face.
Your sins, they've hidden his face from you. And what?
That he will not hear.
He will not hear. Church, we got to realize the seriousness of our problem. It has separated us from God. God wants to forgive us. But we've got to realize the seriousness of our problem. Brother Byron, what does the text say over in the book of Romans? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Wait, what does the text say? Church, what are wages? What are wages? What's that? Payment. The wages. Here's the way we have to pay a wage for our problem. Are you with me? We got to pay a wage for our problems. And what does the Bible say, Brother Byron?
For the wages of sin.
The wages of sin is?
Death.
It can be physical, but it's definitely spiritual. Death. Say that word, church. Death. God wants to forgive us. We got a problem. It separates us from him. He wants to forgive us. We got a problem, and the wages of that problem is death. Eventually, an eternal death. But God wants to forgive us. Now here's where I'm going to make some of you mad. Here's where some of you are going to say, no. Yeah, okay. Brother Clint, you're going to tell us what the Bible says about this problem and who does it affect. What does the Bible say? Wait. I'm ready. I'm here. What does the Bible say? Wait. You know, I know all these movements going on. I know they got a problem. I know they're going to stand before God. All these politicians, these liars, I know, they got a problem. They're going to stand before God. All these people who are robbing banks, all these people who are killing people, and I know they're going to have to stand before God. All of these people that are out here promoting and doing things to our children, changing their sexes and trying to do all the stuff, all those people, they're going to have to stand before God. We know that, right? They got a problem. God wants to forgive them. Do you know that? God wants to forgive them. Even them. God wants to forgive them. You and I, church, let's be careful that we don't harbor bitterness in our hearts against anybody. Even I don't care where they stand. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care, you know, when these people are doing all this stuff, you know what? Pray for them. Pray for them. You know, my mom used to tell me, when I used to run in, I used to tell about what Lord was doing and Greg was doing and all this stuff like that. And she would say, pray for him, boy. Pray for him. She called me boy. She could call me that. You can't. She'd say, pray for him, boy. You know why she'd say? She'd say, pray for him because she'd say, boy, you know what? You're going to find it hard to hate anybody you're praying for. I know those people. Brother Clint, what does the text say? The text says what?
For all have sinned.
Church. For all have sinned. For all have sinned. What does the text say, Brother Clint? Keep reading.
And fall short. Of the glory of God.
You know what all means? You want a Greek lesson? I am a teacher in a Bible school. I teach Bible courses. I have studied Greek. I've studied Hebrew. Yo hablo un poquito de español. So therefore, I am qualified to tell you what the word all means. It means all. It means me, you. It means all. It means all of us stand in need of God's forgiveness. All of us. And then God says, no, God says, I'm giving you time because I want to forgive you. I don't want anybody to perish. I don't want you to perish. I don't want all those bad people out there. I don't want anybody to perish. And I'm giving you time to repent. Repent. Because I stand ready to forgive you. Could you think of anybody that's so much like us? His name is David. You ever heard of David? So much like us, and he had so many journeys in life. So many. So many journeys to where I mean, he had his highs, he had his lows, he was killing bears, and in one moment he's sleeping with a woman, and in one moment he's having the woman's husband killed, and you remember all those stories? Oh, so much like us. We might not have done everything he did, but church, we've done a bunch of stuff. I've done a bunch of stuff, and you've done a bunch of stuff. And if you haven't done a bunch of stuff, you will do a bunch of stuff. And if you say you haven't done any stuff, lying's wrong. That's stuff. David, wow. I've got a few minutes. Go with me, if you don't mind, to Psalm chapter 32. We're gonna take just a few minutes, and we're gonna let David walk us through forgiveness. Is that okay with everybody? Is that okay? I always like to ask, is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, it doesn't make any difference. I'm gonna do it anyway. I like to make you feel like you're in charge. I really do. That's the only way I can get you to listen to me, is if I make you feel like you're in charge and you feel like, well, we're really running this show. No, you're not. Let's let him walk us through. We normally wouldn't write like this. We would normally write these first two verses at the end, because here's how he starts off. He said, how blessed is he whose transgression is what, church? Forgiven. Whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Look how David is starting off here. Look, this is not normally how we write, okay? We would have verses 1 and 2 normally at the end. Because verses 1 and 2 makes an announcement. And here's the announcement. The announcement is, how blessed is a man that God has forgiven. The word can be also translated happy. How happy. He starts off with but then you know what? Now, in these two verses, though, he also lets us see our atrocity towards God. Because he mentions transgression. Church, the meaning of the word transgression is, that's kind of like just totally being defiant. Doing something you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Transgression. And then he uses the word sin. Sin. The simple definition, to miss the mark. You just missed the mark. Maybe you didn't mean to do it, but you just missed the mark. And then he uses the word iniquity. You know what? That means to be crooked. To be about crookedness. Even in these verses, he lets us know the intensity of our problem. But then he says, your transgression is what? Forgiven. Sin is what? Covered. Your iniquities, God does not impute. Impute means record keeping. God does not keep that against you. You know why? Because how blessed is the man who's what? Forgiven. Forgiven. That's where David starts. But you know what? But then David takes us on his journey. He takes us on his journey. How did I arrive there? Look at verse 3. He says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long. Church, sin has and a horrible effect on our lives. It has a, when we decide we're going to just live outright in sin, or even when we decide we're going to live in secret, okay, I can only live in secret sin before you. Every sin is outright in front of God, okay? And church, I believe, I don't have any documentation for it, but a lot of the people that I've talked to, counseling that I've done and all the stuff like that, I believe a lot of our depression we have, it's because people are ridden with sin. They don't know it because they've changed the name of it. They've changed the name of it. You know, it's an alternate lifestyle, or it's just being unfair. Or just, no, it's sin. David says here, I kept silent about my sin, and look, my body, it affected his body. Through my groaning all day long, and for night and day, thy hand was heavy upon me. Church, that's a good thing. Okay, that's a good thing when your sin bothers you. That's a good thing. If you're living in sin right now, pray to God Almighty that it always bothers you and bothers you to a point that you're going to do something about it. I've got a problem and you got a problem when sin doesn't bother us. I've got a problem, you got a problem when God's heavy hand is not upon us saying, hey, wait, think about what you're doing. Think about what you're thinking. Think about where you're about to go. David says here, said, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, a good thing. And he says, my vitality was drained away as with the fervent heat of summer. Church, sin is nothing to play with. We've all heard all kinds of stories about sin. We've all heard the story of where the frog sits in the water and they turn the water on. And all of those stories are true. And all of it is to tell us it's nothing to play with. It's nothing to play with. It destroys us. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 6, and you start reading it, I think, around verse 5, and you go through it. God destroyed the earth. He destroyed the world because of what? Sin. Because of sin. David's journey here, David starts off by saying, How blessed is the man who's forgiven. But then David says, you know, let me tell you about my journey. And then he says, in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 3? Do you remember after they sinned, what did they try to do to God? They tried to do what from? They tried to do what? They tried to hide from him. Yeah. Sin just makes you, you know, you can run. And was it a movie or something like that? You can run, but you what? You can't hide. Well, I know all these movies and songs like Oklahoma, whatever that song was I mentioned the other day that I don't know anything about, but. And my iniquities I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. Church, part of that journey, part of our journey, if we want to be forgiven, part of that journey is we have to confess. We have to confess. 1 John, Brother Richard, first find for me real quickly and we'll move on. 1 John chapter 1. What does the text say there? David says, and I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, what's the text say? If we confess our sins. Wait. Listen, church. He's faithful. When God reminds us that he's faithful in something, we need to take notice. He's not saying, I'm going to just forget. He says, I am faithful. If you confess your sins, start all over again. And what I'm going to do, Brother Richard, I'm not going to stop you. I am going to let you read all the way through, and then I'll start screaming. What does the text say?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us.
Wait. To do what?
To forgive us
of all
our sins.
To forgive us. And in that confession, church, it's inherent that there's repentance. You know why? Because confession without repenting is reporting. Yeah. It's just telling God something he already knows that you're not sorry for. He's not calling on any of us to report. He's not calling on High Jones to come and say, I've sinned. He wants me to come and say, I've sinned and I'm sorry for my sins. To confess my sins. And he says, I'll forgive you. David says here, three-step process right here in verse 5. David said, I confessed, the Lord forgave me, my sins removed. That's the process. Then he says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when you can be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. Simply, here's what David said. David said, seek the Lord while he can be found. Okay? Don't wait. David said, I did it, and I'm encouraging you to do it. And then he speaks on God's behalf, I will instruct you and teach you on which way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And then there's a warning here. Don't be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, love and kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. And even though it's not written here, this is High Jones's version, okay? Even though it's not written, it stops at verse 11. But what I would encourage you to do, if you write in your Bible, after verse 11, I encourage you to write, refer back to verses 1 and 2. Because he says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy with all you who are upright in heart. Why? Because how blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. In other words, in whose spirit he's no longer trying to fool God. He realizes his sin. He realizes that God wants to forgive him. But more than that, God will forgive. Well, look, he's closing his Bible. We know his next move. After he closes his Bible, he's going to walk down to the front. And after he walks down to the front, we know what he's going to do. He's going to close his lesson out 7 times. And after he closes his lesson out 7 times, he's going to give us one other point, and then he's going to tell us he's almost done. And he's told us that 3 times so far, but it's our fault because we keep coming back to listen to him again. So really, he's enjoying it while he's punishing us, and it's really my fault, but I have to admit that, but I'm not going to admit it publicly. I just said all that just to kind of get it off my chest, okay? And his forgiveness is forever. And he puts it away and he remembers it no more. And with his forgiveness, what he says, I want to forgive you. I want you to repent. I want to forgive you because I want you to be like me. I want you to be like me because I'm going to forgive you. And you know what I want you to do? Brother Byron, find for me Matthew chapter 6. I want you, open your Bibles if you would, and this will be our last text for right now. Matthew chapter 6. Brother Byron, begin reading for us, if you don't mind, with verse 9. What's the text say?
In this manner,
do what?
Therefore, pray.
Pray. How does he want us to pray?
Our Father in heaven.
We all
hallowed
know
be your name.
Hallowed be thy name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And what's the text
say? And forgive us our debts.
Wait. And forgive us our debts. How many of you want forgiveness from God? How many of you need forgiveness from God? You know what God says? God says, I want to forgive you. God wants to forgive me. What does the text say? Keep reading.
And forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors.
Forgive our debtors. God says, I want to extend my forgiveness to you. And you know what? I want you to learn something from that. I want to extend my forgiveness to you. And what I want you to do is I want you to go out there or go next door, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to extend that forgiveness to others. And then some of us say, well. And then God says this. What does God say?
And do not lead us into temptation.
Don't lead us into temptation.
But deliver us from the evil one.
Deliver us from the evil one. Great. Keep reading.
Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses.
Those of you who just said, read again.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
But if you do not forgive men their trespasses,
mm-hmm. neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
God wants to forgive us, so we will reach out and be like him. Remember Matthew chapter 5, verse 48? We'll reach out and be like him and forgive others. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. nothing but the blood of Jesus. God says, I don't want any of you to perish. I don't want any of you to perish. I want all of you to realize your problem and come to repentance so I can forgive you. And I'm standing ready to forgive you. Because Jesus, my son, has already with his blood paid the price for me to be able to forgive you. Listen to me. If you're living in sin right now, repent. It's going to destroy you. Repent. God wants to forgive you. If you got a past and you've repented, God's forgiven you. Go on. Don't let Satan use your past to stop you from your present and your future. When Satan brings up your past, you tell him, hey, buddy, you didn't get the memo. I don't live at that address anymore. I've moved on. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God has forgiven me. You know why? Because that's the God I serve. He says, as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. All that's saying is, your sins are gone. I don't want you to perish. And I've done everything in my power to prove it to you. It's your turn. Hi, Jones, it's your turn. Richard, it's your turn. Byron, it's your turn. Clint, it's your... I've done everything in my power to prove it. It's your turn. And I stand ready. I don't care what you've done. I don't care. I don't care. If you can repent, God will forgive you. And you go on. That's why Jesus shed his blood. Yeah. That's why he shed his blood. So you and me, we can share, we can live, we can be about God's forgiveness. Say that with me, church. God's forgiveness. Say that one more time. God's forgiveness. Church, say this with me, and I'm done. Okay, say it with me. God wants to forgive me. And he's faithful. And that means he will forgive me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Absolutely nothing but Jesus' blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. God's forgiveness is for all of us. And thank God. God bless you.